that Kenton actually a lot of times is the one that gets us together.
Right.
Yeah. It's been so sweet because he's enjoyed it so much and because he's a benefactor. A lot of times, you know, we're ready to say goodnight and he'll come in, knock on the door, and say, don't forget we have to pray.
Yeah.
It has been so sweet.
Yeah.
It's just been wonderful. The three of us, the five of us, praying together for different things, for different matters. It's wonderful.
Amen. Yeah.
For me, my relationship with my parents directly affects my relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And growing up, if my relationship with my parents is bad, then I really have no way of having a good relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so it's important for me to have a good relationship with my parents.
Right.
Especially while I'm young. I don't know, I've always been encouraged to tell my parents, you know, a lot of things. And hopefully there'll be more in the you know, as time comes. But just praying with my parents, I guess what I'm trying to say is that as time, you have hard times growing up. And sometimes you feel like you have no one to turn to. And when you have your parents there, it's almost like you're kind of your last resort, and they're always there for you. And, I mean, it's like everybody lets you down, it seems like, at some point, except your parents, really. And I don't know, just praying with them has been a real big help. I don't know what else to say.
The one thing that has always kept us together, more than just fellowship, more than anything, is our prayer together.
Yeah.
And it's not the prayer that, it's the prayer we found that is this way, where you give thanks for one another, then you bless one another, and then you intercede for one another. It's hard when you're divided to petition for one another. But we have found that when we have a few little disagreements and we come together, we realize that when we come together to pray, we cannot come together in disharmony. So we realize that, we realize we have to come together to pray.
Yeah.
So we have to come together. You see what I'm saying? So we have to come together to pray, so we have to take care of the oneness. But the prayer takes care of the oneness. So when we pray, we get together, we come together inwardly, and then the outward things just fall right into place. And so this way of praying, I feel, is even better than what we have done as a practice, as a family, before. This way of just blessing, giving thanks for one another, then blessing one another, then interceding. I'm really looking forward to doing this even more than what we did in the past.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. Now, we invite three brothers. Amen. You three, share something. So give some appreciation on their, or comment on their family revival time.
Amen.
Okay. One by one. Amen.
Well, what touched me probably the deepest is the oneness. Is the oneness that the wise have experienced out of this matter of praying together. I think this is something we all long for in our families.
Amen.
And I just have to echo what Willie said concerning the matter of coming together and being one. When we're praying for anything, I have to admit, probably like so many, my wife and I don't pray very much together. And the times we do, it's either in oneness or it's in the other way. And, of course, in our effort in coming together, our intention is to have something positive result from this prayer. And this way of praying in a positive way establishes the oneness immediately.
Amen.
And I was very impressed how this was the case. And, you know, this is a testimony. Hear what we saw tonight. This is a testimony of the reality of this way.
Yeah.
And the effectiveness of this way.
Amen.
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 Of
course, it's always difficult for a family or even a brother's house or a sister's house to do this with so many eyes on them. I really appreciate that these saints were able to release their spirit and come to the Lord without being conscious of this. But I was touched by a couple of things. First of all, the positive atmosphere here just brings everyone into the spirit. And, you know, my wife and I, we prayed on and off during our marriage. But whenever we had time of prayer, no matter what we were praying about, that was always a peak in the church life. It seems like when you get with the other saints, it's so easy to be released if, you know, everything's right in your own household. But the thing that touched me the most was what Kenton shared about how he sensed that when he's right with his mom and dad, he's right with the Lord and he's able to function. You know, what this indicates, what this indicates to me is something we all need to pick up on. Isn't it true that how can we have one accord with the brothers if we don't have one accord in our own house?
Yeah.
You know, and how can we have one accord in our house one accord in our own house if we don't have this kind of atmosphere? I don't know. Just listening to our brother share, it suddenly touched me. What will happen when my 4-year-old is 18? Will he be able to say that about me and my wife? This really gave us something to shoot for, and I really see the need for us as we look at vital groups to first consider that our family would be vital. And we're dreaming if we think we can be vital and not be one, not just in the negative sense of not having offenses, but in the positive sense of having real building.
Yes.
You know, you look here, although we're growing in this matter of vitality, we're seeing new things, fresh things. I do have to say that what we saw here is an evidence that over the years there's been something of vitality in this household, and it just gives us all something to be encouraged about.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The thing that touched me the most was when they thanked the Lord for one another. I felt like there was just a blow to the enemy each time when Rosalind would say, "Thank you for my husband."
Amen.
And Willie would say, "Thank you for my wife." And Kenton would say, "Thank you for my parents."
Amen.
You could just feel the release of life, you know, when they thank the Lord that way.
Amen.
To me, I just feel like this is a real key, you know, to the blessing of the Lord in our family life, that we could release the Lord's blessing, that the churches could be built up.
Amen.
When our families are built up, the church is built up.
Amen.
If our families are not built up, it doesn't matter how much we pray with the brothers, we pray with the sisters, there's no real building if our families are not built up with the Lord. So praise the Lord for this practical help.
Amen.
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 Thank you. Amen. Lord, I pray.
Family life in the church life. He said a good church comes from good families. We have mentioned these various conditions so that young brothers and sisters may learn together in their family life. May you not be careless or foolish. Carelessness will bring trouble both to the family and to the church. Remember, unless one deals in unity in the family with one spouse, that person cannot be one in one accord with brothers and sisters in the church.
Amen.
How can one quarrel with one's partner at home and sing hallelujah in the church?
Amen.
He who lives in a good way at home will also live well in the church.
Amen.
A good church will have behind it the support of good families. If both the husbands and the wives are in a good place together, the church will have little trouble. So I'm so thankful also that we could spend these 4 weeks to focus our attention on our family life and on our relationship with the husband and wife and our children. Like one saint said, it's worth fighting for, because the enemy makes this the target of his work. In the world, we know that 1 out of every 2 marriages ends up in divorce. This is a fact in the United States.
Yeah.
The enemy hates marriage.
Yeah.
And he works in the world to divide couples and to bring in divorce. And the second target is young people. The enemy's target is to damage the young people. So here we are. We have our families in the church life. Surely our families is the place where there should be the normal family life. Where there should be the highest expression of the oneness. You know, we have been involved with a lot of marriages. We've been in the church life, of course, in Seattle since 1970 until the present, which is 23 years. And right, we have married and been involved in the marriages of many couples. We have signed the name, the marriage licenses for many couples. And, you know, we've seen kind of a trend, I think, in the early years. If a brother was burning for the Lord, or a sister was burning for the Lord, we said, praise the Lord. But we noticed something, that after some years, that this didn't cut it. This did not meet the standard of God's plan for a marriage life. Because eventually a brother, just like we read here, it would be so easy to be burning, to be in all the service groups, and to be in all the meetings, and stand up and pray, and testify and prophesy. But then we would hear the complaint of the wife. And I've talked to many wives over the years. I don't know if Sherman has. But many wives have come regarding their burning brothers. And they don't come with blessing. They don't come with thanksgiving. But they do come with intercessory prayer and complaint. And it's not a happy family. And so it's not normal that in the church life, we don't have a happy family life. And if there's discord and contention between the husband and wife, be sure this will damage the children. I read I heard a brother share, and he's been involved with thousands of young people and thousands of families for many years. And advice that he said you can do a lot of things wrong, but if you have one element in your marriage, then that will be the strongest guarantee that, at least there's a strong possibility, that your children will be for the Lord. And that is if they see between the husband and wife the oneness, a loving, affectionate oneness, lived out and expressed in the home. That can do the most for your family. So, you know, in the church life, we do need to pay attention to this. I think this has been an area maybe of neglect for many years. We haven't talked about this. And we haven't fellowshipped about this. But I think we've experienced on the negative side a lot. Because I've heard a lot of complaint. And even ourselves. In our own marriages, as Sherman said, in our own families, we've been short in this matter. So praise the Lord for this time. That we could apply our attention to some simple things. That if we do these things, this will be the healthiest, most positive thing we can do for the church life in the Lord's interest. This is not just to have a happy family life. There's many books about having a happy marriage and a happy family life. But it's not for God's economy. Just like we read today in the first message of the conference and the training on Joshua, how the Lord's move. And the Lord is moving today, and he's writing his own history in this age. Just like he wrote his history with Joshua and all those children of Israel coming out of Egypt. That was history. And so here we are today. God is a moving God. And he's moving on the earth today. And he's moving in the churches today. And he is writing his history before his second coming. So how important it is that we in the church life would have the foundation of the reality of the triune God flowing in our homes. You know, we've considered how we've been so much for the building. We've prayed for the building. We prayed for the building up of the church. But the question is, how much am I built with my wife? Yeah. How much am I built with my family? That's the question. It's not how much we're built with the saints, but how much am I built with my wife? Wow. And can my wife say, I love my husband. I'm built with my husband. I'm one with my husband. And can the husband say the same thing? Well, I think we're all caught. We're short in this matter, right? I think we all have to admit it. So praise the Lord that he is drawing our attention to focus on our family life at this time. And there's these simple things that we can do. You know, I've also read a number of marriage counseling books. because when all these problems start to arise and then you realize, boy, I'm short too. Give me some good advice. What can I do? And because, you know, releasing my spirit, coming to the meeting and being a brilliant brother didn't do it. And, well, I have to say, and I do believe that the best marriage counseling, healing therapy that we can have is what we've heard in these days.
Amen.
To pray with our wife. To be in one accord with our wife and our family.
Amen.
To come together and sing together.
Yes.
I think the most healing has taken place when my wife and I have gotten on our knees.
Yes.
And the Lord has used different circumstances to bring us on our knees. But when we've come to our knees, something takes place between us.
Right.
Something sweet. The triune God flows in our spirit.
Amen.
And so I'm so thankful that we have a practical way to lay the foundation for the building up of the church.
Amen.
Just starting with our wives and our family.
Amen.
To come together, to sing together, to come together, to pray together, and to come together, to intercede together, and to practice these three things, to give thanks for one another, to bless one another, and to intercede.
Amen.
You know, just one more quote here. This is quite good. And I recommend this, too. Watchman Nee had a whole section on the matter of the family and the parenthood and raising children. And he makes some points here that are very... He recommends even having two times a day. He says, we suggest having family devotions twice a day. Once in the morning and once in the evening. Once is good, but twice is better. One way would be to let the father lead in the morning and the mother in the evening. The parents will need to rise earlier in the morning, so there will be time for devotion after breakfast before the children go to school. The time must not be long, not longer than 15 minutes. Ask each of them to read a verse and then also to pray. Ask God to bless them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do not pray for things too deep for them to understand. Do not pray too long. Pray simply and in a way for the children that they can understand. And then one more point, one more quote here. He says, great children come from great parents. Finally, I want to say that many of God's great servants have come from great parents. Since the time of Timothy, many of those who were used by God have descended from great parents. John Wesley was one. John Newton was another. John Panton, one of the most illustrious missionaries in the world, was a third. Very few fathers were like John Panton's father. When John was of an advanced age, he was still telling how whenever he was tempted to sin, he remembered that his father and his father's prayers were for him. John came from a poor family. There was only one bedroom, one kitchen, and one small room. Whenever he heard his father praying and sighing in that small room, he trembled. He knew that his father was agonizing for the children's souls. Even as a grown man, John could yet remember his father's sigh, how he thanked God for giving him such a father that he might not sin. Had he sinned, he would offend not only his heavenly father, but his father that was on the earth. Rarely was there a father like John's, and rarely was there such a great son like John. So that's an inspiration for us, that we need to pray for our children specifically, to intercede for them. And, you know, whatever condition our children are in, we need to be encouraged that God can do anything through our prayer, especially if the husband and wife are in one accord. That is a powerful, powerful unity, a powerful oneness. Because the promise is there that if we are dwelling in one accord, then whatever we ask, the Lord will do. Right in John 18.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this word.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord, we can bring the triune God into our family.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, what better healing. What better therapy. Oh, what better counseling.
Amen.
Oh, what better ways than to bring the triune God through prayer, through singing, and through intercession.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this training.
Amen.
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 Just go ahead.
Amen.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. We'll have some announcements.
Amen.
First, I would mention, though, it's been very
striking, being in a culture that was without God for so many years. One of the major areas of damage in humanity is the family.
Yes.
It's very hard in Moscow and St. Petersburg, despite all the thousands of saints meeting, to find very many who have been married their whole life to one person. There's a lot of couples, but usually it's a second, a third, a fourth marriage.
Oh.
I remember one time, this was a real eye-opener, a brother came up to Gene Ford, newly saved. He'd been reading his Bible. He said, "I never knew God intended man to have one wife." He was married to his third wife. They both had been saved and baptized. And the kind of moral deficit and ignorance that is present in that society is unbelievable. Just in the last 2 weeks, I had to give a very strong word on the matter of fornication to one was a couple we thought was a couple. For a whole year, they've been meeting with us, exercising their spirit, praying, testifying, leading people to the Lord, and then we found out they weren't married, even though they're living together. And we began to share from the Word, and there's just a big black spot in their consciousness, just completely ignorant of God's ordination for man and woman. Any rate, this shows you when the enemy can clear God out of the way, this is what he attacks. He attacks the family, because this is the unit that represents God's purpose in its fulfillment. So it's not a small thing for the Lord to come in to recover the family life. I remember my own experience getting married. I would have been scared to death if I wasn't in the church. Because even almost 20 years ago, still the signs were there what was happening in the United States. So praise the Lord, we're here in the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
We're here, we can have the image of God's purpose recovered among us.
Amen.
By bringing the husband and the wife into one accord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, let me remember a couple of the announcements here. First, we'd like to announce we'll have the... I think I remember. This meeting will take place in Hall 1 in Seattle next weekend at 6:30. Right? Excuse me, 6 o'clock. What's the topic? What will you be covering?
Okay. Morning revival.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Morning revival by phone. So we'll gather all together again. This will be right, Tacoma, Bellevue, and Seattle. We'll gather together again at 6 o'clock. At Hall 1 next Lord's Day.
And
Bellingham also. Praise the Lord. All the churches in the area that can come. Next, I think as we all know, Brother Lee will be coming to have Labor Day weekend with us. And there are a lot of saints that want to come from out of town. So again, we'd like to strongly encourage the saints to sign up for hospitality. And even if you've already signed up, if you can make some more room available, this would be very good to do. This is another thing that's quite touching about the believers in Russia. Many of them, they are very specifically, many who have emigrated to the West, they brought a habit that when they build a house, they specifically build a room for hospitality. And they think nothing. I mean, we've stayed in homes that had 12 or 13 kids, and they just shoehorn another 5 or 10 brothers into the house. And even if you have a little car about the size of a Subaru, they'll put 8 saints in it. You put 2 in the front, including one. Actually, put 3 in the front. The driver, somebody sitting, somebody on his lap. 3 in the back and 2 on their laps. And they'll drive for 15 hours to go to a meeting. They just love to have hospitality and they love to have fellowship. We've learned a few things from them with their desire to have the saints come together. At any rate, surely we can, in our comfort and our luxury here in the United States, we can open up a little bit more, have a little more fellowship, a little more hospitality. As the saints come together, there's really the blessing when the saints are gathered together to enjoy the Lord's Word and to exercise in the Spirit. Also, just a reminder, there are some financial needs for this conference, and I believe it's suggested $25 a saint. Is that the...
Yeah.
We would suggest, if you have the ability, above and beyond your normal giving, to give $25 a saint. This is just a kind of suggested level, to help meet the extra expenses that we will incur as a result of this conference. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, lastly, I'd just like to bring you greetings from the churches in St. Petersburg, in Moscow, in Ramenskaya, which is a suburb of Moscow, and also on Rostov-on-Don. We were just down at a conference. This is a city about 1,200 kilometers south of Moscow, near the Black Sea, where the Lord brought a number out of the denominations through the writings. A number of them have been in the full-time training this whole past year in Moscow. And there were about 50 at the conference down there, quite seeking, quite exercised. If you were there in the meeting, you'd feel like you were just in any church in the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
And maybe just a short report. We had a four-week training in Moscow in July. I can't remember the number. It seems to me it could have been up to over 500 different persons by the time we ended were involved in this training. And it was quite intense. It was about 4 hours in the morning and 2.5 hours in the evening. And Rhema has received many, many letters from over 1,200 cities in the former Soviet Union. We took a number of the best letters of appreciation and sent out invitations to about 150 people, and over 80 came from, I believe, about 40 different places. We invited them to take hospitality with us and have a chance to taste the church life there. Well, out of this, there were some that came that had a pretty strong background in their denominations and had a hard time dropping it. But the majority were very genuinely seeking and really saw something of God's economy and saw something of the riches in the Lord's recovery. And we believe that they will become the seed in many other cities in Russia for the church life to begin to start. Something already is happening organically through the literature. We believe the Lord is preparing many different groups of believers who are hungry and desirous of taking the way of the Lord's recovery. And the good thing, the Russian character, they're rather serious, so when they get into something, they get into it. They're quite willing to throw everything out the windows, to dive in and give themselves to what they, when they see what the Lord is doing. And we're hoping that a good 15 of them will join us in the summer, in the full-time training. In fact, I think we'll be bigger than Anaheim this year. And we'll continue to grow. Praise the Lord, anyway, for what the Lord is doing.
Amen. Amen. Now we sing the chorus. Lord, I treasure the sweet soul of life. Amen. Lord, I treasure the sweet flow of life. My soul, I at last I lay down. Oh, Lord, open the pilgrim of life. At your coming, may life be mature. Lord, I treasure.
We need help with the folding chairs. We need all the folding chairs to be folded and stacked in the foyer over here. The gray chairs need to